The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of WMEL staff, management, or advertisers.
This is Bold Talks Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bold Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
This is Donna Anselmo, and welcome to Bold Talk Business Radio, today's edition in the 1 to 2 p.m. time slot on 1060 WMEL, where we can be found every Tuesday afternoon. And we love it here at WMEL. We get to share a lot of great information and interview a number of wonderful, really wonderful, very credible and established and successful business experts. And today we've got a couple for you, and the first one we're going to be talking with is Jay Yadon, who is the CEO and founder of Resort Share, as well as a number of other companies that we're going to talk about, and talk about how he became so successful as a serial entrepreneur. We've got Pete Anselmo in the studio with us today.
Yeah, and I think, Jay, for the entrepreneurs out there in the audience, listen carefully, because Jay has a lot of good ideas and a good tips regarding operating and starting your own business.
Yeah, so Jay Yadon, thanks for being with us today.
Well, Donna, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, terrific. We're so glad that you're on the line and can make time for us, and that technology brings us together across the coast today. And I was really fascinated when I had the opportunity to talk with you, because you have, started at a young age, and you got involved with a number of different types of companies over the year and successfully launched and built those companies and sold those companies and continued on with new companies. Can you just start out by sharing some of your experience in terms of what motivated you, where you got the ideas for the very novel companies that you got involved with, and what kept you going?
Yeah, Donna, well, I got involved at a pretty young age in real estate. Real estate had always intrigued me, from a very young age. And so I was fortunate enough, in my late teens, early 20s, to get involved in the real estate industry in a couple of different ways, and eventually ended up starting a real estate brokerage that specialized in distressed properties, short sales specifically. Really timing just worked out really well for that business, and I was kind of in the right place at the right time, and was very fortunate to be able to help people in that situation. It was a tough economic time for a lot of people when the real estate market crashed. So I really started off in real estate, and then from there moved into an electronics waste recycling business. And that was really an important thing for me. Myself and a childhood friend of mine started this business with a mission to try and help replace our carbon footprint here on the Earth, and we definitely accomplished that. So that was fulfilling, but great learning experience as well.
And you were early into that industry too, in terms of recycling electronic waste. So, what opened your eyes to that as an opportunity? How did you see that?
It's interesting. I had some jobs that I was doing at the real estate company, actually, where we had to hire companies to come in and prepare these foreclosed homes for sale. And so when I ended up selling the real estate business, and I moved into the electronics waste recycling business, the reason is I had seen all of these properties that had all kinds of, not just electronics waste, but, all types of, ferrous and non-ferrous metals that were just being thrown away in the landfill. And so I did a little bit of research in the industry and learned that it really wasn't a lot of people that were aware of the problem that existed. So my childhood friend and I got together and put together a small company starting to recycle electronics waste, capillary tubes, things like that. And it slowly grew over time, and we ended up selling that back at the end of 2012.
It's really fascinating, because what it shows me is an important part of success is being able to identify a problem that people haven't even really thought about yet, and then figuring out how to solve it. I know Pete's got something to say.
Yeah, I wanted to reinforce that that notion that it's important when you're out in the business environment to be aware. There's a lot out there, and there are many things that you might run across that initially people overlook. But as you work with people, you see opportunities, and it's important for you to keep your eyes open and to look for opportunity in places that you might not necessarily are apparent. They're not readily apparent.
You're
that's
listening to.
Right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jay.
I was saying that's absolutely right, Jay.
We've got Jay Yadon on the line, who is the CEO and founder of ResortShare, which is an award-winning company helping timeshare owners share their vacation time with travelers. And from starting his own company 5 years ago to leading the number 7 fastest-growing company in the hospitality and travel industry, Jay has many insights and questions and tips for people who want to be successful as small business entrepreneurs. Another, and hopefully grow those small businesses into big businesses. You're listening on AM 1060 WMEL. This is Donna Anselmo, host of Bold Talk Business Radio, with Pete Anselmo in the studio today and Jay Yadon on the line right now. Bold Talk Business Radio is the place where listeners come for insight, strategies, tips, and tools for success, and that's why we're so thrilled to have Jay Yadon on the line with us today, because I want to ask you about your own strategies for becoming successful. I know that you say there are 5 questions that entrepreneurs need to ask themselves if they want to be really successful and stay on focus. So why don't we talk about some of those questions, Jay?
Yeah, of course. You know, I believe that it's very important to, you know, a lot of people, they go and they have an idea and they think, you know what, this is a great idea, I'm just going to kind of go for it. And, you know, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but it's been my experience that you can really get, you can really create a nice business for yourself and really provide value if you can go and start to understand you know, what you're doing, instead of just going and doing it. You know, you need to really understand, you know, what it is you're going to do. So I do have 5 questions that I've put out in an article, and really, you know, the first one is talking about how passionate am I about my idea? You know, and Pete just kind of touched on that briefly, saying, you know, when you're out in the marketplace and you're starting to kind of observe and see that there may be opportunities out there, that's absolutely right. You know, and the next question is, you know, how passionate are you about those specific ideas? And I think that's really, really important. You need to really, you know, eat, breathe, and sleep whatever it is you're doing if you plan on your business being successful.
Well, I think passion is a really important point. Number one, because it's so important to be able to take other people and get them on board with your own vision, because very few of us succeed in a vacuum, just as one soul in the world doing something independently. It takes bringing other people on board, but it's the passion that's going to motivate you and keep you going day after day, week after week, despite the many challenges that you're going to have in starting and launching a new idea.
An aside, I think it's important to recognize within yourself that success is not necessarily just making a lot of money, because a business, you have to live the business. This is your life. And so when you indicate that passion is important, I think that's a very critical part of it. I think you have to recognize within yourself that this is what you're going to be doing. You're going to be living it with your family, with your friends. I mean, this is you. And so it's important to get involved with something that you enjoy as on an individual, personal level.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, money can't be the driver. Money, if done effectively, is the outcome.
Right. Right.
And,
good point.
Yeah. And so when you can be really excited about the idea, when it kind of floats your boat, so to speak, that's when you know that you've got something that maybe has some staying power for you, because you have to in business learn how to overcome many obstacles. Jay, can you talk to us? Jay Yaden, founder of Resort Share and multiple other successful small companies that grew into bigger companies. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the obstacles you faced in getting off the mark as a new business owner?
Yeah, I mean, it's really an endless list, of problems or hurdles that you're going to run into, as a small business owner or an entrepreneur trying to get started. One of the most difficult ones in getting started, is access to capital. And when you're first getting started, that can be, more difficult than you realize. And so I've always been a big believer in making sure that the business can stand on its own two feet, so you're not relying on outside capital to keep the business going. With today's day and age and technology and the way things are up in Silicon Valley, it's almost a profitability is almost a lost art. And so, if I could give any advice, I would say that the most important, piece of starting your business and most important hurdle you've got to get over is figuring out how you can sustain the business without using any sort of outside capital.
And another thought that I'm recalling from a prior interview we did with the president and senior vice president over at Florida Business Bank is that it's really important to keep good records and to document and to run your money through your business, because at the point when you want to take your business to the next level, if you've written off every expense and drawn all your money out of your bank account, business account for personal expenses, you're not going to look so good at the bank, and that's going to impact your ability to get capital for growth initiatives in your company.
Just as a point also, I think you mentioned Silicon Valley and that area, which has been obviously experiencing tremendous money flows into that area. But what we recognize now is that I think a lot of those companies need to, especially the younger, early starting ones now, need to recognize that they have to watch their burn, how they go through their money, because it isn't always going to be where the money is readily available. And you've got to watch that.
So I can tell you, I started my first two businesses. I started in my living room, and I tried to keep the overhead as low as possible for that exact reason. If you're not paying attention to your burn and you're not paying attention, to the capital necessary to have the business sustain itself, you're going to find yourself in a precarious situation out there begging for money. And it's not a great place to be in when you're trying to get your get your baby off the ground.
So let's talk about some of the other questions that you think entrepreneurs need to ask themselves in order to ensure their success.
Yeah, the next thing I believe is really important is my solution simple? First, are you solving a problem? But, how simple is the solution that you're providing? And I think, it's really important to remember that business... it is not this big, complex thing that a lot of people think it is. Business is very simple, and it's a complex system, but once you can understand that system, you can start to manipulate it to get the outcomes that you desire. So really focusing on making sure you're solving a problem for the marketplace, I think, is really important. But also, how simple is your solution? If you take a look at some of the larger companies today, like the Airbnbs or the Ubers of the world, very, very simple ideas, and they're solving a very basic problem. And so I think it's important for people to ask themselves that question.
That's a great question. And the entrepreneurs that I have known and the business owners that I've known who have become very successful are people who I've found very often have a very single-minded focus. They don't try to be all things to all people. They stay very closely focused to the one thing that they got in business to do. And you're talking about having a simple solution. And then, of course, there's the KISS principle, keep it short and simple. I think that's great advice, Jay Yaden. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're thinking in terms of engaging other people in your business? How do you feel about business partners?
Well, Don, that's a great question. And I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. We use the term quite often, laser-like focus. and you need to have laser-like focus, because you can do anything, you just can't do everything. And that really leads into making sure that you have the right partners. There's a lot of things that in business that I am not great at. And I believe that that's been a part of my success, is been able to identify what those weaknesses are early on, and be able to surround myself with people that complement my weaknesses. And so even though you may go out and find a partner that's a good friend of yours and you guys get along really well because you're so similar, that may not always be the best option when you're moving into a business situation. You really want to have kind of a balance of opposites, really.
Well, we have time left today with Jay Yadon on the line to continue talking about questions every successful entrepreneur should ask themselves. And also, hopefully, we're going to have time for you to tell us a little bit about the lessons you learned in your 20s that served you really well in your 30s. But I want to let our listeners know that after the news break, when we start the second segment of the show, we're going to be speaking with attorney Lisa Pomerantz specifically about the idea of partnerships, and she's going to be talking about some of the strategies, legal and other, for developing a successful strategic alliance and how you have to vet the other people that you're working with. So we'll come up with that in the second half of the show. Jay Yadon, I love the idea of talking about knowing who you're getting involved with and why, and what they bring to the table and what you do. What about the ideas themselves? Let's talk a little bit about how you know you've got the right idea, the right market.
Yeah, and that's interesting, because a lot of people believe when they come up with an idea that it's the greatest, idea in the world. and you've got to ask yourself, back to our previous point, what problem am I solving? Am I solving a simple problem? But more importantly, how are you identifying if the market actually has a need for your problem or for the solution that you're providing? And we do that through multiple ways, but the most common one that we use is something that's called PDSA, and that stands for Plan, Do, Study, Alter. And that is just
Could you repeat that again? Plan, Do, Study,
Alter. So Plan, Do, Study, Alter. So plan to do something,
alter.
You plan it
okay.
out, you right. do it, you do a small-scale test, you study the results of that, you make minor adjustments, and then you do it again. So it's a rapid iteration and really the scientific method to problem solving. Go ahead.
It's part of a quality management strategy, too. I had a similar strategy that we used to use when I worked in healthcare and quality management and a quality advisory board. We called it Plan, Do, Check, Act. And it's really important, because when you're doing that check part to see how things are working, or you calling it the study part, you're really looking at where are the sources of variation that influence my success. And if success is going up or down, you want to leverage that knowledge and then alter your plan or act to hold the gains that you have established.
That is absolutely right. And it also allows you to identify, common cause versus special cause. It allows you to be able to recognize where you can make improvements in your business. There has to be constant improvement, and that's a mission that we have in any of the projects that we're working on, is constant improvement of the system. And I believe that the PDSA or the PDCA, like you're talking about, are two great methods you can use to do that.
Talk a little bit about risk in business, terms of how testing helps with that, Jay Yadon.
Well, it allows you, testing allows you to limit your risk. You're never going to eliminate risk in business. You can look at the stock market, and that's a perfect example of that. There's natural variation in the system. There's ups, there's downs, there's big swings, there's small swings. And really, by testing and using some of the methods that you just talked about, it allows you to de-risk a little bit, and allows you not to bet everything on one idea or one strategy that you may have. It allows you to do small-scale testing, see how the market's going to react, and then from there you can make adjustments and continue to move.
This is Donna Anselmo on AM 1060 WMEL, talking with Jay Yadon, CEO of ResortShare, and Pete Anselmo in the studio with me.
Yeah, I just had a thought about one of the things that certainly young entrepreneurs want to try to do is to allow themselves to do exactly what you're saying. In other words, to allow yourself the time to spend doing some testing, doing some evaluation. Very often, the young people that's starting out in a business are overwhelmed by trying to do everything. And I think they need to understand you can't do everything. So, you know, look for people that can help you. Look for people to streamline your business that can help you, allow you to get more time.
And I know, I know you're a fan of doing your homework, Jay Adon.
Yes, I am. I believe that doing your homework is probably the single most important part of starting a new business. And doing your homework is necessary because it gets back to what we talked about before. You know, is my solution simple? Is the market going to accept, you know, my solution and things like that? But at the end of the day, if you don't do the proper planning prior to going to market, there's a good chance you're going to fall on your face. So we call this zero stage. And really, it's prior to launching, doing all the homework and all the research necessary to make sure that you're solving a problem, you have a simple solution, you have the right partners, and you have the right method necessary to continue to drive your business forward.
Well, we only have about 2 minutes left to this segment, and I know you have some tips for young entrepreneurs that can make or break them. So why don't you pick your top couple of tips and just run through them really quickly?
Yeah, of course. Really, for me, I think it's very important, you know, showing up, suiting up, and not giving up. There's going to be hurdles. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about risk. There's going to be hurdles. There's going to be problems as you get going, and you have to continue to show up, suit up, and put one foot in front of the other. And if you can continue to do that, time and time again, you will continue to make progress and continue to move forward. I think that's really important to understand. And probably the next point that I want to get across before we have to go here is don't let your failures overwhelm you. You know, everybody fails. And everybody knows, you know, the Walt Disney stories and all that stuff. And it is so important to understand that failures are nothing more than learning experiences. And if you can take them with a grain of salt, get up, dust yourself back off, and continue to move forward, you know, you will be successful.
I like your idea also. I know that you talk about taking calculated risks and making sure that the business that you're going after is viable for you and that you're really ready to do that. And to also understand, Jay, you talk about nothing happening overnight quickly. What do you say?
It doesn't. There's a lot of people, you know, and there's a lot of people think, oh, I'm just going to go, you know, build this app and we're going to be rich. And unfortunately, that's just not the way it works for most of us. So, you know, it does take time, and you have to be patient, and you just have to, like I said, put one foot in front of the other, show up every day, put your head down, and do the work.
Okay, and, so we're going to have to leave it at that today, but how can people get in touch with you or your company?
So you can get in touch with me at jyadon, J-Y-A-D-O-N, at resortshare.com.
I love that. Thank you so much for being our guest today on AM 1060 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. This has been Donna Anselmo and Pete Anselmo with Jay Yadon on Bold Talk Business Radio. Come back after the segment to talk about strategic alliances, and we are sure going to have this guest, Jay Yadon, back with us in the future. Jay, great job today. Thanks for being with us.
This is Bold Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bold Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
This is Donna Anselmo, and I'm happy to say we have Peter Anselmo in the studio with us today, too. This is the show where every Tuesday you get to hear insights, strategies, tips, and tools for your business success. And because there's so much crossover between business and life, we love to say that you can apply a lot of what you learn on Bold Talk Business Radio to your personal life or your business. In the last segment, we talked with Jay Yadon, who is the founder of ResortShare, which is the number 7 fastest growing company on the Inc. 5000 list of companies in the hospitality and travel industry. And that's quite a notable business success. While we were on the And while we were talking on Bold Talk with Jay, we talked about the importance of having a good business partner, not trying to do everything yourself. And Lisa Pomerantz is an attorney on the line with us from Long Island, New York, in Sayville. And she is actually the attorney I turned to years ago when I was forming a business partnership. And Lisa gave us great advice and counsel and contracts and agreements and got us really thinking about what was going to make the best partnership for us. So Lisa Pomerantz, thanks for being with us on Bold Talk Business Radio. And let's get right into it by talking about the different types of partnerships that businesses consider, especially small businesses, and why we even want to have a partnership with another company or person.
Okay, Donna, I'm so thrilled to be back on your show. And I define a strategic alliance as something that is a prearranged, limited combination of two or more people or entities to take advantage of perceived or anticipated opportunities. And strategic alliances can take many shapes. They can be done by contract. They can be done through forming some kind of joint venture or partnership. In the professional services field, you sometimes have professional limited liability partnerships where, for example, attorneys might get together to share overhead costs but have their own practices. Of course, you have attorneys who form partnerships or firms where they're really combining their practices. So you can have everything from getting together for one particular project to basically working together on an ongoing basis to promote both entities' businesses. But it usually is something short of a complete merger.
Pete Anselmo, my husband, was involved for many years in a business alliance on the basis of a handshake. And it worked really well for him. But I know for other people, it's really important that you are able to really vet the people that you do business with, and to protect yourself, to protect that other person, to protect the contracts that you serve yourself. It's very important that you enter into an agreement with a lot of thought, and whether you do it legally with a contract or more informally. Lisa Pomerantz, attorney, you know, business expert extraordinaire, tell us a little bit about some of the issues and concerns and tips that you think our listeners should think about when it comes to who they want to go into business with.
Well, I always say that one should choose your partner carefully, and obviously Pete was lucky.
Yep.
But
that's true. No, I agree.
And what I would say is that just as when you plan to get married in your personal life, you definitely want to date before you marry, because as your previous speaker mentioned, people tend to go into business with family members or friends. And just because somebody is fun to hang out with does not mean that you're going to work together well. And so you want to do kind of a trial test of working on something together and see whether your work styles are compatible. And let me say this about agreements. One of the reasons to go through the process of having a business partnership agreement is that you get the issues out on the table, you clarify the party's expectations, and you actually make sure that the two of you are on the same page. So I really consider agreements to be blueprints for business success. I do think it is, risky not to go through that process and not to clarify what the expectations are in advance.
I think that's expectations are very, very important. And it's not simply expectations about who is going to do what. It's also getting a sense when you're talking about dating before you marry, Lisa, it's really important to make sure that the people that you're picking have the same value set that you do, that the same things are important to them. Because if you have one area in your heart that really matters to you, and that other person doesn't really care about that, or doesn't treat people the same way, or doesn't have the same vantage point on customer service, or doesn't believe in managing money the same way, those are going to be sticking points for you down the line that can really derail your partnership.
That is correct, although I do think it's unrealistic to expect that you're necessarily going to agree on everything. And in some ways, having somebody who has a different perspective can add to the combination. But you have to make sure that it's not a question of opposites attracting. It's more, are you complementary? And you must agree on those basic values of honesty and integrity and serving the customer and those kind of things.
I think this is Peter. I think that what you're saying is absolutely correct. I was very lucky in the sense that the fellow that I worked with, Richie, had very similar values to my own in terms of we wanted to do the best for the customer. We wanted to serve the needs. We weren't looking just to hit and run. We were looking to develop relationships with our customers. And so we were successful together because of what you're saying, that we had a similar approach to business, and we were very compatible.
And in that case, Rich Curry had a landscape company, landscape maintenance and landscape design, that had been in the St. James, New York area for over 50 years. Pete Anselmo got involved with him because Pete's a design consultant, a landscape design consultant, so together they could serve a similar interest. Kind of, I guess, Lisa, so you're an attorney. Many attorneys have relationships with other people, such as maybe a realtor, a real estate developer, somebody for real estate agent has customers who also, particularly in New York, need to use an attorney for a sale. It makes good sense for them to maybe think about what kind of relationship they have.
Well, what I would say is that as far as attorneys go and some other licensed professionals, we're actually limited by professional rules in terms of we're prohibited for the most part in forming partnerships when it comes to providing legal services. And part of that is so that it's clear that your loyalty is to the customer. But there are, for example, other services that I might perform, let's say such as some training or writing training programs, which are other things that I do that might not be strictly legal, where I might form alliances with larger companies that need that kind of content for their customers.
Like compliance training or sexual harassment policy, that type of thing.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about some of the questions that you would encourage people to think about when they're looking to enter into a strategic alliance where, you know, two parties come together for, you know, because they're serving the same type of customer and there's a mutual benefit for each of those parties in being involved in that service. So what are some of the questions and issues that you want people to think about, Lisa Pomerantz?
Well, I think it's important to make sure that you agree on what is the purpose of this particular combination. What do you see as the strategy for the combination? And what do you see as the scope within which it's going to operate? Because as long as the two people or entities who are coming together have their own businesses and they're not really merging, you have to be clear about what opportunities will be channeled to the strategic alliance, what the party, what kind of commitment the parties are making to the strategic alliance, and which is more important, the strategic alliance or the party's individual enterprises.
That's a good good thing to consider, and I think it's also important to think about, you know, how big a job you want to do together, and then how complicated that's going to be for you.
That's correct. When people see somebody as a potential candidate for a strategic alliance, they often see kind of the upside of getting together. But there's also what we call, what economists call transaction costs, which are what are the costs of doing the combination, of working together, of communicating, making decisions, resolving issues as they arise. And I think those kind of procedural aspects of the combination also need to be given attention so that the alliance operates smoothly.
Yeah, and that's an important point you mentioned earlier about that getting together with a friend or creating a business with a friend or an alliance with a friend. Sometimes the transactional cost could be the loss of that friendship. So I think you need to consider that very carefully. And you're listening to AM 1060 WMEL, Bold Talk Business Radio.
We're with attorney Lisa Pomerantz, based in Bohemia, New York. And another cost that I think we can sometimes consider and should consider is the avoidance cost. That was what my strategic partner, Stephanie Leibowitz, always used to talk about. What does it cost if you don't do this? Like, what's the opportunity lost? So you kind of have to balance you know, the transaction costs with the opportunities cost and the avoidance costs. So what are some of the things that make people believe they are motivated to do business together?
Well, I think you've touched on one of them before, which is they provide related or complementary services to a similar market. And for example, as you know, I was in-house counsel at NEC. We made telephone systems. And at the beginning, voicemail systems were actually a separate product. But we had strategic alliances with manufacturers of voicemail systems because, of course, a voicemail system is complementary to a telephone system. So that's part of it, but sometimes it's also the opportunity to share costs and resources. One of my favorites is you often see Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin Robbins located in the same store, and that's because Dunkin' Donuts needs it in the morning and Baskin Robbins needs it in the afternoon and the evening.
So there's a complementary function where there's a benefit to both sides there, and that's great. So it's like seeing where your weaknesses are and finding somebody else who can leverage that with their strengths and bring it together, bring down your costs. I love that idea. What about something that you say, Lisa? I know you've used the term, make the implicit explicit. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think that when people go into strategic alliances or any partnerships, they often have expectations as to how the other person is going to act, what level of commitment they're going to bring, also sometimes there are unspoken issues about people's spouses wanting to have a say in what goes on. So the importance of making the unspoken expectations explicit is, again, to find out whether you're really in agreement and to tackle those tough issues that if you don't tackle at the beginning, they can come back to haunt you at a later time.
I think it's also important to think about the fact that when you're presenting together with somebody else, out into the business world, it's really important that you take the time to vet the credentials of that other person, because your own brand is really going to be affected by the public perception of you being involved with somebody else. It's really important to get to know the credentials of that other person and to do your diligence and make sure that you understand where they're going.
I think
and coming from.
Well, I think that's very important, because one of the things that made my relationship with Richie at RJK Gardens so important was that his company was top line. I mean, just top quality, a company that was had an excellent reputation. And so when we decided to get together, we both were on the same page with respect to the quality of the workmanship that we were expecting. And so for that reason, I think we were very successful.
This is Donna Anselmo at Bold Talk Business Radio, airing on AM 1060 WMEL in Central Florida. Do you know our listeners range from in the physical broadcast area from Daytona Beach all the way down to the Palm Beaches, from the Space Coast all the way into Orlando? And we're pleased because we can also stream online so that Bold Talk Business Radio is actually heard anywhere in the world. So we're talking with attorney Lisa Pomerantz right now about developing good strategic alliances, making the most of your strategic allies in business and working with other companies for mutual gain. So Lisa Pomerantz, tell our listeners a little bit about how you anticipate that they build a blueprint that coordinates their work together.
Well, what I do as an attorney, if I'm retained by either one party or as by both parties in structuring a strategic alliance, is that the parties should first create an agenda of what is important to them. And then the parties really need to have a conversation about each item on the agenda and, again, make sure that they're on the same page. What is the purpose of the strategic alliance? How is it going to be marketed? How is it going to be presented to the rest of the world? Is it going to be presented as one entity or some combination of both? How is pricing going to take place? How are you going to decide what jobs you are and are not going to take? How are you going to allocate compensation between the participants? How are you going to indemnify each other? Again, you want to be protected if your business partner does not hold up their end of the bargain. So one of the things I do is help create this agenda, and I go over all the issues with the participants and make sure we have threshed everything out and that the parties are on the same wavelength, and also that they've considered how they're going to deal with their differences if they arise in the future, and also how each one of them might be able to exit the arrangement if it doesn't work without actually destroying its value.
One of the things that I really liked that you had suggested to Stephanie Leibowitz and I when we entered into a joint venture with Proposal Docs, a strategic alliance of sorts, and we ended up forming an LLC with you, one of the things you suggested to us was that we create an agreement in advance so that if we got into a dispute or a difference of opinion about how something should be handled in business, that we already acknowledged and selected the mediator in advance that would come to our aid if we needed assistance in resolving a problem. I love that. I think it was a great idea. Luckily, we never needed to use that mediator, but it would have been there in the event and pre-selected in the event that we really came up with a problem.
Yes, I try to put that in all business agreements that I do, either designating who the mediator is or a method for their selection, for example, via the American Arbitration Association rules. so that there is always a stopgap before anyone has to go to litigation. And I should also say that I recommend arbitration as opposed to litigation as a cost-effective and discreet way to resolve issues as they arise. But I do think most issues can be resolved through negotiation and mediation if you have it in your head, again, that will be your first step should a difference of opinion arise.
We're going to have to leave it there today because we've got only a minute and a half left. And Lisa Pomerantz, thank you so much for your discussion of strategic alliances. How can people contact you for more information?
Well, they can reach out to me at lisa@lisapom.com. And I would also mention that I do put out a monthly newsletter.
I love it.
On legal and dispute resolution topics for innovative enterprises. And you can go on my website or send me an email to subscribe.
Right. And you can find Lisa's website at www.lisapom.com, LISAPOM.com. That's Lisa Pomerantz, attorney at law. And this is Donna Anselmo at Bold Talk Business Radio. We have enjoyed the opportunity to talk about building strategic alliances. And I want you to remember that when you're getting into business with other people, you should anticipate that there are forks and bumps in the road, as Lisa Pomerantz advises. Take advantage of opportunities to enhance and expand your relationships and plan ahead. So if you have to shift out of that relationship, you're going to create a graceful exit. You can contact Lisa Pomerantz for more information. Join us back here at Bold Talk Business Radio next Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. until 2 p.m. for news, insights, strategies, tips, and tools.